Welcome to the Zephyr Hills Alliance Church Podcast, where two pastors process the context of church and the practice of discipleship. Ted and I are starting a new series on the podcast today. For the rest of 2026, we're going to be talking about spiritual gifts. So much has been written about this topic, and today, Ted and I talk about our experiences with different theories on the gifts of the Spirit. We cover a scripture from 1 Peter that I think is foundational to a conversation about spiritual gifts, and we have a little chat about playing live music. Thank you for joining us. This is episode 30 of the Zach Pod. All right. So I'm getting all set for my concert tonight.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Are you nervous?
A little bit.
Oh, yeah?
You know, you get a little jittery.
A little jittery.
I haven't played there before and playing a bunch of songs.
Now, how long do you get to play for?
I think an hour.
An hour? Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
I'm not 100% sure. I know I start at 7.
Okay.
But I don't know if they have another person playing or not.
Oh, okay. Anyway,
I'm playing at Hillcrest Coffee tonight. By the time you hear this, it will have gone well, I'm sure.
But go and enjoy their coffee.
Yeah, that's right. It's a coffee shop in Lakeland. Jesse Sharp told me about it because they have live music every Thursday night, most Thursday nights, and some other times during the week. It's a guy who's just like really committed to making live music happen in
that's
Lakeland.
That's great.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful.
It's a little venue, and I've been there a couple times to hear other people play. So
yeah.
When's the last time you played out?
Last time I played out, it was back in, the last time I played, I did
the library thing?
That library concert at the Zephyr Hills Library.
Yeah, that was really fun.
A couple years ago. And
Ted, it was celebrating of Bach or something?
Yeah, celebrating the birthday of Johann Sebastian Bach. And so we did a classical guitar concert, a couple of Bach pieces. And
yeah, the library. I thought that was great. That was a bunch of people there.
Yeah, we had a little packed out little crowd, and it was good. Yeah, I was nervous too that time.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Did you get some good feedback after that?
I got some crazy feedback. Yeah, right. I got some good feedback and crazy feedback. Yeah.
Well, what was the good feedback?
Good feedback. I think people enjoyed it, and they just they enjoyed the instrumental solo guitars and music and honoring Bach and the other classical pieces, good feedback was arrangements that I did. I did a hymn arrangement and a couple other arrangements of my stuff, and people really enjoyed that. And they said, "Oh, you need to play that more often."
Yeah,
that was the good comments.
Yeah, the crazy feedback?
The crazy feedback was never play Bach again. That was the crazy feedback. And
who was that from?
And that was
just some random person.
A person came in because they enjoyed Bach, and they definitely felt free to share with me that I played Bach all wrong.
Wow.
I mean, I hit a lot of wrong notes, and I told them that. I also said, I'm not really professional. I don't do this full time.
Wow. Was it because it was on the guitar, or was it like, what was it?
I think the individual didn't like my dynamics and my phrasing.
I see.
And that. So there was more of that more than anything else.
Mm.
And when you play a certain style of music, I've heard in training, right, with music, if you play Baroque music you have to play it a certain way, the way they played it. And then some people put all their emotion into it. And it's like, no, you don't do that. That's wrong. Yeah. So it's really hard.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, people are going to be critical. Yeah. It's funny. We always remember like the one person who says something negative,
instead of all
the people who say it was great.
I had one experience down in Delray Beach. I was playing for a grand opening for a Subway.
Oh, okay.
So they had a person that was dressed up like the Subway sandwich guy.
Okay.
That was there, and I was playing classical guitar.
Guitar for the Subway
for
opening.
The Subway thing for this grand opening. But I brought a different. I had an amp, and I brought an amp and hooked it up on the other side. And the ground and the electric in that restaurant was not safe. It blew my amp.
Oh my gosh!
Fried it.
Wow.
And I was like, and this was like 15 minutes before you're supposed to go on, and I was just sweating bullets.
Wow.
I was literally just sweating. Yeah. I was freaking out.
What ended up happening?
My wife came to the rescue, brought a different amp, and I hooked it up and was able to play, that amp was toast.
Yeah.
So that's when you do a gig and you don't get reimbursed enough to pay for the damages. So I hope that doesn't happen. But you don't have to bring any of that stuff.
No. Just my guitar.
That's good. So when you've played out before, And you've done original music. Mm-hmm. I mean, have people come up to you and say, man, I really like this or I like that or...
Yeah, if you play at like a coffee house where there's like an open mic or something where there's a bunch of people playing, a lot of times people are doing covers and, you know, depending on the group, like if you play a cover, you play a song people know, they're more likely to get into it.
Yeah.
As if, and then if you play like an original thing, they've never heard it before, you have to have sort of the right crowd for that. So there's this thing that I've been going to, it's called the Songwriter Circle. That's all original. And that's what people come for. You know, they come to hear original music. And so they want to hear like the background behind the songs and they want to, you know, and it's really fun. Every time I've gone, I've left full of creativity. You know,
I've left
and written a bunch of songs every time. I think there's something special about that is like being around other people who are songwriting and being creative. It really stirs something up. So I really enjoy it. And they invited me to play last month. That show got canceled. So this month I'm going to be playing with the Songwriter Circle in Plant City for the first time. So I'm looking forward to it.
And that's a different coffee place. What's that place?
Yeah.
That's called...
It's called Crazy Cup.
Crazy Cup.
With a K. Yeah. But they do a songwriting event once a month. And so, yeah, so I'm going to go do that. And that's really fun. I mean, I'm imagining it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
I played the concert at Crescengini's.
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, that crowd was, everybody knew me and was excited to be encouraging, you know?
Yes.
And so I didn't really get any negative comments. I got some sort of off-the-wall comments about the amplifier. There was a moment I thought somebody was going to come say good job, and they were like, hey, tell me about that amp. I was
I'll tell you about that amp, yeah.
But no, everybody was very positive, and so I don't do it that often, but I wanted to do it more this year. That was kind of my resolution. I wanted my songs.
I'm thrilled that you're doing that, and I'm excited about it and happy for you.
Yeah, I'm sure it went well.
Yeah, it went great.
So today we are going to talk about spiritual gifts. Actually, we're going to talk about spiritual gifts over probably most of the year on the podcast, but today we're going to kind of introduce the topic of spiritual gifts. And I thought I would start by just talking about, you know, what's been your experience with spiritual gifts in the church? How have they been emphasized or de-emphasized? And what, just what's been your experience? When I say spiritual gifts, what sort of trauma comes up for you?
Oh, the trauma.
Not necessarily trauma.
Well,
but you know
there
what I mean.
There is the beauty of teaching from Scripture that the Lord reveals through the Holy Spirit and through the Apostle Paul and his writings that, you know, every believer, when you accept Jesus as your Savior and Lord, God blesses you not only with the gift of faith or the gift of salvation, but he gives you a spiritual gift and that or gifts. And that is used to build up the body, to edify the body, to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. And it's not in and of your own strength.
Right.
It's not your own talent. It's not your own skill set. I believe the Holy Spirit can help you improve in that skill set. And I believe the Holy Spirit can give you talents and skills that you normally would not even have.
Sure.
And I believe, in my own experience and walk with the Lord, that the Lord has done that in different stages of ministry.
He equips you for
you for that moment that he has called you to, that enables you to do his work, his way, for his glory.
So, I remember you've talked about it before, like at Lake Swan, when you had to do a lot of administration, and that wasn't something that you felt good at before, but you definitely felt like the Lord gifted you in that for that season.
Yes, he did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that is very true. I mean, the Lord really did give me the gift of administration for that season. I don't know if I have that gift now as much, but back then I did, because you had to have that organizational planning skill set, because you wouldn't survive.
Mm-hmm.
And it was good for recall, for accountability, for planning.
Yeah, well,
it's a necessary
thing you have to
gift.
Do if you're running a camp.
Yeah, if you're running a camp and it's multiple ministries, you know, outdoor, food service, hospitality, and so forth.
So have you ever taught on the gifts, either like, you know, Corinthians or Romans, or have you like been taught, have you like listened to preachers teach on it? Like what stands out
back
to you?
Back in the day when Sue and I were serving in Orlando as associate pastor of Alliance Church, there was a big move in Christianity at that time. This was the late 80s. Their big movement teaching, everybody wanted to know their spiritual gifts. And there was a lot of different authors that would come out. Well, here are the 19 spiritual gifts that you can get, or the 12 spiritual gifts, or so forth and so on. We had a couple of Sunday school classes that dove into that, you know, and tried. And then we did a lot of surveys that were developed, discover your spiritual gift, and so forth. And then I had associates and friends who would debate me. I think we only have one gift that God gives us. Or the other person would say, no, I think we have multiple gifts that God gives us. You know?
Do you recall what was their basis for saying you only get one, or you get multiple, or what?
Yeah, they quoted, I can't remember the verse they quoted, because I didn't necessarily agree with that. I do believe that God does bless every believer with at least one spiritual gift, but I do believe that God can, because God is God and we are not, that he can bless you with multiple spiritual gifts for the time that he has called you and placed you where he wants you to be as you are serving him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and you want to bring glory and honor to God. God will work in your life and produce spiritual fruit from those spiritual gifts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the parable of the talents, you know.
Yes.
One guy gets five, one guy gets whatever, and one
whatever.
Guy gets one. And then you're like, well, how come, you know, you just have to be responsible with what you've been given. It's kind of the lesson there. But yeah, there's definitely a difference between spiritual gifts and the fruit of the Spirit, right? So you always love to quote the fruit of the Spirit passage.
Oh, I do all
and
the time.
And you list those. And so what you just said is that the spiritual gifts produce spiritual fruit? Is that how you said it?
I said, yeah, I do believe that the Holy Spirit is the one that is producing and doing that work in your life and in your heart. So the fruit of the Spirit, it comes from the Holy Spirit out of Galatians 5, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, meekness, self-control. All that comes from the Holy Spirit. But I also believe when God gives you a gift, and Paul mentions those gifts, some in Corinthians and in Romans, you know, some have the gift of exhortation or teaching or pastoral gifts, hospitality, those kind of gifts that the Spirit gives, I think out of that, as you are faithful, God produces fruit from that. In other words, so we say the fruit of the Spirit, the first fruit is love. Well, if you have the gift of hospitality and you are showing kindness and love, that's the fruit of the Spirit just blossoming forth, you know, and that's a result of that giftedness. That's a result of the indwelling presence of Christ in you. And man, what better way to be giving glory and honor to the Lord than allowing that gift to be used for the honor of Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think in general, you know, we can say the Holy Spirit in us produces good things.
Yes.
And so there's a list in Galatians of fruit, but that's not like a exhaustive list. That's just a list of some good things that the Holy Spirit does in us. And there's other good things the Holy Spirit can produce out of us. And I really think the same thing about the gifts. You know, there's several lists in Scripture. There's Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, which are the two like main lists.
Ones.
But there's other places where just a few are mentioned or where other ones are mentioned. And I think it's a mistake. I understand why people write books about it, but I think it's a mistake to say, hey, there's only these 19 ways that the Lord can equip you to do good works. The gifts of the Spirit are things that were given to exactly what you said, edify the body and glorify God. But we could say, you know, to do good works. They're ways that you go about doing good works. They're ways that you go about being faithful and being a Christian in the world are these gifts of the Spirit. And they are gifts. They're given by God. But it's not like you have to locate yourself on a specific list. You know, you can do that.
Yeah,
but that's not necessarily the it's not exhaustive.
I think back in the day, I mean, wonderful men of God. I think it was Robert Flynn wrote 19 spiritual gifts. Kenneth O'Gangle wrote about spiritual gifts.
And shout out authors.
Shout out to those authors. I think both of those gentlemen are with the Lord. Appreciate all their insights. You know,
for sure.
Because this is a sidebar note. Sometimes when I read a Christian author, it's like, man, I get to read his book, but it's like I'm sitting across the table from him with my cup of coffee and just trying to enjoy that conversation. I'm gleaning from them. Sure. I may not agree 100% of what they're revealing to me, but if they're a respected author and they're a good writer, you know, I get to glean from them. It's mm-hmm. like them spending time with me in a sense. I believe that the Lord enables and gives gifts to his children to glorify and honor himself in the life of that believer, but also for the family of God to be built up and edified. So you can have more than one gift. And what do we do with gifts? We need to receive the gift. Mm-hmm. So you got to be aware, okay, and it may be something that's totally out of, like we say, your wheelhouse, your expertise.
Yeah.
We just went through some training last month for ESL, English as a Second Language, how to teach English. And in one sense, for me, that's out of my wheelhouse. You know, I don't know how to teach English as a second language. Mm. But I'm willing and allowing the Lord to use us in that area. But one of the trainers, a gal from New York, she said it was not on her radar to do this. Mm-hmm. And in fact, when the people came to her and said, well, we need you to lead this ministry, she kept saying no, 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 until the Lord finally said, why are you saying no? I want you to do this. So she tried it, discovered her gifts in this teaching ability, began to develop relationships with people who needed her help and began to share the gospel and the love of Jesus in many ways, tangible ways, just mm-hmm. helping a person to go to the grocery store and
you know,
discover all that kind of things. So I think, but it wasn't in her wheelhouse, you know,
the teaching part.
The teaching
part. I wonder if the relational part was or wasn't, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, it could
be. So the teaching part or the leadership part she was saying no to,
yeah,
and God had to nudge her into it so that she could operate in this other space of, like you're talking about, helping
absolutely.
And relational helping.
Could have been. Yeah, it could have been. I mean, she's gung-ho now and so excited about the ministry. It was just wonderful.
Right? Yeah, I think that's a really interesting way to look at it, is that sometimes doors can open through something like that, where it's like, okay, this is a way that I'm not prepared or not gifted, and it doesn't seem like it will work. And then but God prompts you and equips you, and you say yes, and then you find, oh, I was actually made for this. I didn't realize how much of it was going to be this other part.
That's right.
That was really true in China. You know, I was really, one of the things Ashley said when we were in China was that she thought we moved to China because God wanted me, Christian, to be a missionary in China. A couple of years in, she realized, oh, no, we came to China for Ashley because she was so gifted at building relationships with the students. She was never a teacher, right? Yeah. She was, because we had little children at the time, so she was on a dependent visa, you know, but she lived on campus. And man, those students really wanted to see how a Western mom did things, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they wanted to hang out with little American babies, and they wanted to hang out with her. And she's very personable. She's really good at building relationships. She's easy to get along with, and she's winsome in that way. And I'm not those things. Do you know what I mean? I'm a pretty good teacher, but nobody wants to hang out with me after. Well, some people wanted to hang out with me.
Well, yeah, there are those.
But between me and Ashley, there's no contest, you know, of how much people liked to be around her. And so she really was gifted and wired to do that work.
The relational,
but she didn't realize that's what the work was going to be. Do you know what I mean? And so we said yes to this invitation to go overseas. And it wasn't until years in that we realized, I mean, she'd been equipped for this for a long time. And we didn't realize that's what it was going to be. 1 Peter 4:8-11. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
I thought I'd start our discussion of the spiritual gifts here with this section of 1 Peter. It's not one of the exhaustive lists. It mentions a few things: being a faithful steward, hospitality, speaking, love. It mentions some gifts, but I really like the overall thrust of the passage, is that use whatever gift you have received to serve others. The grace of God comes in various forms, you know?
Yes.
And you do so with the strength God provides. Why? So that in all things God can be praised.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's the overarching results of when spiritual gifts are active within the body of Christ. It brings glory and honor and praise to Jesus Christ. And the people are strengthened by that. They're edified by that. They're encouraged by that. They're ministered to by that. I think there is a grace that abounds. In other words, we're more loving. The fruit is absolutely growing, and there's even a harvest of the fruit.
Mm.
The love and the joy and the peace and the patience and the kindness and the meekness and self-control. Today, we definitely need the demonstration of the Holy Spirit in the fullness of every believer, every child of God, to be made manifest in today's world. There's such anger, such hatred, such opinions that become violent that we really need, as followers of Jesus, to demonstrate, as it says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. And the only way that I can embrace that kind of love is being a child of God, knowing Christ as my Savior, being filled with His Holy Spirit, allowing the Spirit to plant those seeds. So, and that gift of love for others, you know, and that just brings fruit.
And it comes, he says is it comes in various forms.
It does.
So that's super important to recognize that, like, God's going to give you strength to do it, like we're talking about. It's the equipping and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. But it doesn't have to look like whatever you think it has to look like.
Right.
You know what I mean? It could be the way that you're supposed to use the gift you've received.
Right.
And so one way to interpret that is like, okay, God gave you this special gift. Another way to think about it is like, hey, this is the way that you were wired. You know, did God wire you a certain way? I think so.
Yes.
And so when you use the language of spiritual gift, it can feel a little bit like, well, I don't know if it's that, but God wired you a certain way,
mm-hmm.
and He empowered you, mm-hmm. empowers us to love and show grace in its various forms. And so, you know, we were talking about songwriting earlier. You and I like to write songs, and that's something that we are gifted in and something that we can use to glorify God. But somebody can look at that and be like, oh man, well, I can't write a song.
Right. We do that comparison thing all the time.
Right. But that gift, you know, that's a gift I've received and I want to use.
Yes.
But there's a lot of them that I haven't received,
right.
You know what I mean? And so like when I see the way that Ashley interacts with somebody, leading them to Christ or just mm-hmm. building relationship with them, I look at that and I'm like, man, I don't have that gift. You know what I mean?
And I look at it as, you know, I have often teasingly, lovingly said to others, oh, you have the gift of mechanics, or you have mm-hmm. the gift of fix it. You know, I don't have that gift. And, you know, they say the how to do fix-it books, you know, for beginner, it takes, you know, whatever, 2.5 hours. Well, for me, I just have to double it or triple it because I really don't have that gift.
Yeah.
And I respect and admire people who do. Sometimes God does wire your ability that way. So in that sense, He enhances that ability. Mm. He takes it further than you could on your own strength. And that's, I think, you know, are you relying on yourself, your flesh, your own strength, or are you relying upon the Holy Spirit as you are doing things that you're wired for?
It's also, what's your motivation for it? Are you doing it to make it big and to get rich? Not that there's anything wrong with success. Are you doing it for your own glory? Or are you doing it like verse 10 says, each of us should use whatever gift you've received to serve others.
Yeah.
Right? As a steward of God's grace. So are you stewarding God's grace to serve other people?
Yeah.
You know, and is it coming out of this love that covers a multitude of sins?
That's so good.
Or are you doing it absent of that? You know what I mean? Like, God's wired every person on this planet. And so everyone has been given a grace and a gift and ability, affinity. And so a lot of people don't recognize Him.
And I think sometimes the enemy comes along and we ourselves keep us from using the spiritual gifts because we compare. Well, I can't teach like that person or preach like that person or sing like that person or play an instrument like that person. Or we might even say, well, I can't pray out loud like that person. You know, we say, I can't. And then we stop and we won't. We won't engage the Holy Spirit to say, Lord Jesus, come and have your complete reign in my life. And, you know, you use me as you see fit for your glory and honor. And that means stretching me to embrace my spiritual gifts, then help me do that, depend on you fully.
Yeah, I think there's a big delineation between like the upfront gifts, the people who are on a stage or out in front and having to speak in public, and then the behind the scenes gifts.
Yeah.
Neither one of those is more glorified than the other, or in, I should say, according to
God's
the
economy,
kingdom, according to God's economy, those are both equally valued.
Yes.
But we probably place a higher premium on the upfront gifts, and we think, oh wow, look at how gifted this person is. But that's all not true. Like it is just as valuable to pray in your closet and to give and to help someone behind the scenes and to serve.
Yeah, to clean, to set up, to tear down.
Like all that, it's just like that story you're saying about the ESL. The woman didn't want to have to do the leadership and the organization, or maybe she didn't want to have to do the teaching part, the part where you're speaking. But that unlocked the person to person ministry that she did really want to do.
Yes,
and that she did really get to see fruit from.
Yes.
And so both of those things in her life turned out to be necessary and important for you know, the fruit to be released.
Oh, absolutely.
There's any combination of that. It comes in various forms. And so we just have to like trust the Lord both with how he's wired us and with what he's inviting us to do, because he might be inviting us to do something that feels outside of our skill set.
Yes.
But it, you know, he equips us. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides.
Mm-hmm.
Why? So that he will be praised. It's awesome when you minister outside of your comfort zone, because you know for sure, oh, that was the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
Sometimes you can trick yourself into thinking, no, I did pretty good there, when it's at a place that you're good at.
That's
but when
right.
it's the thing that you're not good at, you know, okay, clearly the Lord is moving.
That's
you know
right.
what I mean?
The Lord is working in me and through me and in spite of me. You
yeah.
know? For his glory and honor and praise. And that's the beautiful truth, that we can be used of God. And, you know, we've often said, you know, the body of Christ, we have many gifts, and it's the members one to another. You're a gift to the body of Christ, and you are significant to God Almighty, and you're significant to the place where you worship. So allow the Lord to use your gifts. It's great.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the ZACPOD. All of our content is created in-house by the ZAC Media Team. To learn more about the ministries of our church, follow us on Instagram or Facebook, and subscribe to our newsletter at zaccma.org. If you like what we're doing, please share the podcast with a friend and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.